Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Changing tracks just a little bit, today is International Women's Day, and we are joined on the line by Amanda Azor, branch manager, Boston City Campus in Durban. Amanda, very, very good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So it's such an interesting question, because I see this all the time, that there are certain fields that are male dominated. There are certain fields that have been traditionally female dominated. On International Women's Day, how do we facilitate independence through education and allow women to enter fields that are much more difficult traditionally to enter?
I think it starts at the beginning. I think we need to consider girls and women who are looking at changing where they're at and upskilling need to consider the different opportunities that are available to them. We've noticed in COVID that women tend to be in the more what we call pink collar occupations. So hospitality, food service. And as we've seen with lockdowns and COVID, these are the areas that have been most greatly affected.
I've never heard that expression, by the way. I think it's awesome. Pink collar. Is that a well-known expression? Am I very much behind the times?
I don't think so. I don't think it is well known, but I think it really sums up what we're looking at.
It does. It's brilliant.
At.
Yeah. Yeah. And I learned it from you, Amanda, so thank you.
My pleasure. Right here on International Women's Day.
Absolutely.
Yes. So as we were saying, we need to start to look at women, young girls in school. This has to start at the beginning. So young girls in school, and from a parent's point of view, need to encourage young girls to open and broaden their ideas of what possibilities are available to them. After that, we need to see governments, we need to see corporates coming in and backing that with awareness campaigns and, well, money. Education institutions as well. I mean, Boston, here at Boston, we have the Boston Education Trust backed by Boston City Campus. And every year we give out 20 bursaries to young black females who want to study and work in the IT industry. And that is a field where women are very underrepresented. So I think it's got to start early, and I think everybody has to come on board.
Yeah, it does have to start that way. But the problem is how do we take into account, and it was interesting because I recounted a story this morning that in California they're looking to pass legislation that's going to stop stores from having toy stores in particular having girls aisles and boys aisles for toys. Now, whereas I understand that, because you don't want a girl to feel that she's doing something wrong if she, I don't know, wants to play with a gun, and a boy something wrong if he wants to buy a doll. So I get that, but there is a natural boy girl thing. How do we allow that, but also balance it with saying, but you know what, as a girl, you really don't need to be limited by your gender at all, as maybe your grandmother and great grandmothers were?
Absolutely. I think I see what you're saying about that natural pull, and there is. But I think the key here is that natural. It needs to be natural.
And there is,
yeah. When we start looking at at the bias, there are subliminal discrepancies. I mean, we are dealing with years and years and years of automatic mental associations, whether intentional or unintentional, and they're based on gender, and it stems from traditions, norms, values, culture, or experience that is ingrained. So I think I love that move on those toy stores. I think it's a great idea because that already just opens it up. Mm. Be who you are. So I think you nailed it when you said natural. So here are all the opportunities. What are you naturally going to gravitate towards?
Yeah.
And I think if we do that, it would be interesting to see how we'd start to see that mix, where we'd see boys in in fields that were automatically or assumed to be women's fields and vice versa.
It's also quite difficult in terms of religion, and it's certainly from a Jewish perspective, there's this notion in many religions, women were given certain roles. And I remember such an interesting conversation with an Orthodox Jewish woman from New York. She was part of the Chabad community there, and she was saying something fascinating. She said when she'd have these people coming to her, these boys coming to her for a Sabbath meal, and they would have an opinion on something, and then her daughter would say something, and they would be kind of dismissive of it, and unless that was about music, and then she would say, actually, my daughter's got a PhD in music, but she felt she had to always qualify that the girls had a right to have an opinion, because naturally it was the space of boys, just and the men, just to have this opinion. And I'm not saying that Judaism necessarily is like that, or any religion is specifically like that. But what you were saying before is so right, is that it's years and generations of conditioning that needs to be addressed in some way.
Absolutely. And that's why I said, I think, you know, again, all of this starts at grassroots levels, from parenting through to school and then into the corporate world. It's subliminal, those subliminal discrepancies. It's not always intentional. I mean, even I, as a woman in a management position who 120% believes that girls can do anything they want to do, find myself making those, you know, those little discrepancies, because I grew up in a time where there were those, you know, those gender stereotypes. So yeah, I mean, it's going to take a while. It's not going to happen overnight, but we've got to start. We've got to push further. I mean, if you're looking at some of the studies, McKinsey did a study, and we are only expecting, according to their study, and this is not taking COVID into account, gender equality in 200 odd years. That's astounding.
That is absolutely shocking. They are saying,
I think, it was like 257 years away.
That is unbelievable. So what do we do now? Listeners who have got younger daughters, older daughters, sons as well, because it's not just about educating women, it's educating men as well around this. What do we do right now?
Right now, I think awareness. So we need to start seeing, we need to start seeing those corporates and governments doing real full campaigns on this. We're not seeing enough of it. It's a message. So if you think about gender inequality, it's been the message for as many years as we can think of. Now we need to change the message. And with enough of that messaging, we will start to see that. We need to encourage parents to have those discussions with girls and expose their daughters to the different things that are out there. Schools, our education system needs to expose girls to what is out there. And with the messaging, you'll find that boys will start to see it differently. I think if you look at the younger generations, they already do. But us in the older generations, because we have been brought up in a certain way, once again, that's subliminal messaging. So we have to start being very conscious of how we speak about these things and what we say. You know, pink is not a girl's color. That's taught.
Absolutely taught.
It's a box, you know, 100%. they say it's a box of crayons. They're all just colors. But somehow along the way, blue became for boys and pink became for girls. And you're teaching that at preschool level.
Absolutely. Jenny says, it's okay to have natural gender pool, but what doesn't fly are things like pink tax. Example, when the same razor for women is 8 times more expensive because it's pink. Absolutely right.
100%.
Yeah. Appalling, but an incredible journey that you are on in educating and trying to deal with these issues. Really, really phenomenal, and it's a fight worth having. Amanda Azar, branch manager, Boston City Campus in Durban. Thank you for speaking to us.